Our epistle lesson today is also from Acts 2. Friends, hear the story of Pentecost for you today. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues like fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them, and all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven in Jerusalem, and at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in their native language. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all those who are speaking Galileans? How is it that we hear in our native language Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, the parts of Libya, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power?" All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are just filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. These are not drunk, as you suppose. It is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men see visions. Your old men dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, men and women, in those days I will pour out my Spirit and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above, signs on the earth below. Blood, fire, smoky mist, the sun will be turned to darkness, the moon to blood, before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. They said to Peter and the other apostles, "What should we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Friends, this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Good and gracious God, we ask for the power of the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts and minds. Speak to us, Lord. Be with us in this place. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen. So the context of this amazing story is important. It's important to go back to the beginning of Acts and realize that the believers were all gathered together watching, waiting, praying, expectantly. They were expecting something to happen, and that's when God's power broke in. But I wonder, do we have that kind of expectation today? Do we expect Holy Spirit to show up when we come to church? I hope so. Just before our story today in the first chapter of Acts, before he ascends to heaven, the disciples ask Jesus, "Is this the time when you will restore our people?" And Jesus says this, "Wait for the gift that's been promised. In a few days, you will be baptized by the Holy Spirit." Jesus had even mentioned this in his final days on earth, that he was leaving, but he would be sending the Holy Spirit to them, the counselor, the advocate, the one to guide and teach and remind them. And then after the resurrection, he tells them again, but he tells them to expect something even more than just the Spirit. He says, "You will receive power." Power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. That's the story of Pentecost, the Spirit giving us truth and counsel and power. And I wonder, do we need this power? Do we know how much we need this power? The power of the wind and fire, I know I need that power in my life. Jesus knew that after his death, Some followers would be tempted to forget what he taught them, so he promised them his Spirit, the Holy Spirit. In Greek, the word is often paraclete for Spirit, which means helper, advocate, counselor, the one who comes alongside, like we've been talking about these past few weeks. But here's something interesting about the Greek in John 14 when he's promising another counselor to be with you forever. In the Greek, there are two words for another. One means different. The second one means just like the first one. That's the word Jesus uses. He's saying, I'm sending you someone just like the first one, like me. Think about it like this. If you're reading a book that you love and you loan it out, but you say to them, it's okay, you can keep it, I'll get another. You don't mean that you'll go to the library and get a totally different book. You mean that you'll get another copy of that book, a copy. That's basically what Jesus promises to us in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is his Spirit. It's Jesus among us, in our hearts, in our community, in our lives. And this Spirit is so powerful, it's like wind and fire. I wonder, where do you need that? Where do you need that in your life, in your heart today? What if we can all tap into that power? What if we allowed God's Spirit to work in us to do more than just talk to us on Sunday? But to change how we feel and think and act Monday through Saturday. Presbyterians don't talk about the Holy Spirit as much as we could, but we do believe it's part of the Trinity. That's what we believe every time we say Holy Ghost in the Apostles' Creed. We believe in the Holy Spirit. And we believe in this story of Pentecost. Pentecost, it was actually a Jewish festival. It's not a new thing. It was a thing already happening. A Jewish festival that occurred, Pente, 50 days after the Passover, commemorating the harvest and the giving of the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. In other words, it was their remembrance of God's power and covenant. But instead of coming to celebrate the harvest and the law, these believers became the harvest. They were filled with new gifts and new purpose, and Jesus' promise to them was fulfilled. Jesus' followers in Jerusalem, they could all speak, not just about anything, but about God's power in other foreign languages that people outside could understand. And these believers who had lost their Lord and Savior on the cross, they now found themselves filled with him. They would become the people to go and share the good news. They were being used by God in totally new ways. As a result, the church was born, and as I told the kids, 3,000 people were baptized that day. The word about Jesus spread and spread, and this happened to people just like us. We tend to think that the people in the Bible are somehow so different, so far removed from us, but that's not the case. The Holy Spirit came to a place like this to people like us. With no foreign language experience needed, no special qualifications, the only one was knowing and believing in Jesus. And that miracle, it's just the beginning of the story. If you read the entire book of Acts, you'll see that power of the Holy Spirit in the early believers and in the early church. You see the Spirit guiding them, helping them, teaching them, giving them courage and hope. And as we heard from Paul, giving them a spirit of courage and adoption, not fear. In fact, if you read all through Acts, you'll see the power of an earthquake that the kids learned at VBS to open prison doors and free Paul from his chains. You'll see the power of baptism to change lives, story after story after story. And you see the power of God to bring people together, all people together, just like Peter's dream. When he realized God meant all people to know Christ. The Spirit in Acts connects people. It creates community in these new ways. And I wonder, where and how do we need some more of that? in our church today. The miracle of Pentecost is kind of like the Holy Spirit jumping in and saying, ladies and gentlemen, start your engines. Because that's how hearts were ignited with the Holy Spirit. That's why we call it the birthday of the church. It put everything into motion that we know about the body of Christ. When the Spirit descended upon those followers, they had this totally new way of living. Some of this will sound familiar to you, because if you keep reading after the story of Pentecost, this is what it says in Acts 2. They all devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. Awe came upon everyone. Many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles, and all who believed were together. They held all things in common. And day by day, as they spent time together in the temple, they broke bread and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God, having the goodwill of the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. When these believers gathered at Antioch, they were called Christians. The Holy Spirit brought them power, but it wasn't a power that they could control. It wasn't a power that they could just grasp and get. It blew in like the wind, like the mighty breath of God. We still can't control the Holy Spirit. It blows where it will, but we can sure tap into its power. I read a neat analogy about the Holy Spirit by Pastor Mark Batterson. I wonder if you've ever heard the name Angelo Dundee. Okay, have you ever heard the name Muhammad Ali? Yeah. Well, Angelo was in Muhammad Ali's corner, literally. He was Muhammad Ali's corner man in the boxing ring. And he described his job this way. He says, when you're working with a fighter, you're a surgeon, you're an engineer, you're a psychologist. As followers of Jesus, we have someone in our corner. Even better than a surgeon, an engineer, a psychologist. We have the Holy Spirit always right there beside us. That's what the name means, alongside us. When have you felt and seen that power? I don't know about you, but every year at VBS, I see that Holy Spirit when the kids come together and share their God sightings. I don't know about you, but last week I sure felt that Holy Spirit when they introduced that Come to Jesus song in the offertory. When have you felt, when have you seen that Holy Spirit? When have you experienced that power, that courage and strength that we all need, right? In an article this week in Proverbs 31 Ministries, Laura Bailey wrote this. She said, too frequently, as Christians, we're just coasting along, living on fumes from day to day, and then wondering why we aren't experiencing the optimal Christian life. We neglect to let our spiritual tanks be filled. Instead, we refuel with some quick prayers, a Bible verse or two, a weekend church service, and that isn't enough. Boy, that's true, isn't it? We need the Holy Spirit to fill our spiritual tanks. Are you running on that power, or are you running on fumes? Are you living on fumes right now, or are you ready to be filled with God's power? The Holy Spirit is the one that does that. The Holy Spirit is the one that does that in our hearts, but also in our community, in the church. The Spirit teaches and guides and comforts and counsels, and suddenly we together can do things we could barely dream or imagine. It's like Reverend Joan Gray's great metaphor for Christian life that we've used again and again. She says that we can be rowboats for Jesus or sailboats for Jesus. And the same applies to our church as a whole. We can either use all of our energy to try to create our own purpose and do our own thing. And like rowboats, we can rely on our own power. Or we can let go of all that. We can put up a sail and let the Holy Spirit fill our sails. We can be a sailboat relying on God's power, joining and doing what God is doing in the world. Which one are you right now? Are you a rowboat trying really hard to just do it all yourself in life? Or are you a sailboat, letting the Spirit fill your sails so we don't run on fumes? All of this, filling the sails, the power of the Holy Spirit, it is so close to you. It is just a prayer away. It is just a request from our hearts to God. And we can say something as simple as, "Come now, Holy Spirit." It is, after all, that Spirit who enables us to do everything at this church. It's that Spirit that gives us our vision, our mission, our purpose, and the power to be, as Miss Susan calls us, the mighty little church. And today is the day we celebrate that power, and we celebrate the wind in our sails. The question is, will we call upon it? Will we rely upon it? This week in Streams in the Desert, it said, "It is not within our power to create the wind or to change its direction, but we can raise our sails to catch it when it comes. It is not within our power to create electricity, but we can tap into it." Can't the same wonders that were done years ago be done today? I think the answer is yes. God is just waiting on us to call upon the Spirit and receive that power. Friends, that is our good news of the gospel. The Holy Spirit is the wind in our sails and the fire burning in our hearts. Let's call on that power and surrender our lives to it. And to that, all God's people say, amen. Amen. Friends, please stand. Let us affirm our faith with the Apostles' Creed, which can be found on page 30.